It's The Takeaway. I'm Lynn Scherr, in for Celeste Headlee all week, here with John Hockenberry. And it is also the day after the elections. All those primary races last night, and we are reading the tea leaves.
Bushels of tea leaves.
Bushels of tea leaves. Indeed. But may I point out, the tea leaves are not always about the Tea Party. Sometimes they are. In California, we're talking about Meg Whitman, who is now about to go on and challenge Jerry Brown, the state's current attorney general.
That's a blast from the past.
Well, do you realize, John, that Jerry Brown was elected governor right after Meg Whitman graduated from high school? I mean, and at the time, he was the theoretical new face in
and
politics.
And they're facing each other.
And they, yeah. That's who she's facing in the gubernatorial. And as we mentioned, Senate Republican primary, Carly Fiorina won. She's going to run against Barbara Boxer, who reportedly has been in trouble with her Democratic seat. Anyway, talking about all this, joining us with California's election results, John Myers, State House Bureau Chief for public radio station KQED in San Francisco, and for results from other key races, including Arkansas, Nevada, South Carolina. We are talking with Jeff Zeleny, national political correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John Myers, let me start with you, California race. Could Carly Fiorina become the first Republican senator from California since 1988?
It's entirely possible. I mean, she ran a really incredible primary race when you look at it, starting really as a newcomer, not knowing a lot about politics, up against at least one of her challengers who was an established member of the Republican Party in California. And a combination of really her own personal charisma and a healthy bank account,
and
I also think riding this wave of frustration and you know, and somewhat of an anger about what's going on in Washington.
And she also had the backing of Sarah Palin, I might add.
She does, and then so I think that's a bit of a question mark about the general election. I mean, you know, all Republicans who run to the right have to pivot to the center at some point when they run that general election, and Fiorina ran hard to the right. Sarah Palin, I don't think, is probably the most popular person among the general electorate in California, so it'll be a fascinating race.
How vulnerable is Barbara Boxer?
You know, hard to say. I mean, Boxer has always fought for her political life. You know, she's an 18-year incumbent in the U.S. Senate, but she has never had an opponent quite like Carly Fiorina. A lot of her other opponents have been, I think, more easily dismissed. Fiorina is going to give her quite a tough race, to the point where Boxer is already challenging Fiorina to a series of debates. And how often does an incumbent want to debate the challenger?
Indeed. Okay, let's move on to the gubernatorial, Meg Whitman. She's been a little controversial herself. You know, John talked about Jerry Brown as a blast from the past. Jerry Brown came on the scene, was elected governor first time in 1974.
Son of another governor.
Son of another governor, and seen as a bit of a, you know, a guy from a bit of an outlier on his own. And yet here's Meg Whitman, who, by the way, says she hasn't always voted. Let's listen to that.
My voting record isn't perfect. I did not consistently vote. Like many Americans, I missed too many elections.
Who was the last president you voted for?
So I voted in the 1984 election in California. I remember it very clearly.
1984? Isn't this 2010, John Myers?
It is indeed. And as a matter of fact, some of those times she says she voted, no one's been able to go back and actually find all the records to verify it. It is an interesting phenomenon. Carly Fiorina also has not voted a lot in her personal past.
What's the matter with these people?
Well, these are women who say they were busy doing other things, but you know, even lots of Californians who have busy lives end up voting. I think these are people who were really fixated and focused on running businesses and in the business world and weren't thinking about politics until recently. That's either going to be a great help to them when they're trying to sell this narrative to the public about an outsider cleaning things up, or it's a hindrance when they say they haven't really been engaged with what's going on.
Okay, Jeff Zeleny, let's turn now to Arkansas. Senator Blanche Lincoln was mightily opposed by labor. She was supported by the president. What does that tell us about the national scene?
I think it tells us about the national scene that we cannot place one sort of narrative over this entire midterm election. Yes, there is an anti-incumbent mood. Yes, there is an anti-establishment mood. But there is still a bit of currency to the power of incumbency. And Senator Blanche Lincoln was able to make the argument to Arkansas voters that your vote will not be bought. She said that over and over again in the last couple of weeks. And what she meant is that a lot of outside liberal Democratic groups were trying to make an example of her. And in the end, she prevailed pretty narrowly, but she still prevailed. And And the question that it really raises is, what happened with this money? The organized labor, you know, some other left-leaning groups spent more than $10 million mm-hmm. on this race. There's probably going to be some second-guessing and some head-scratching on that today. You know, there are some Democrats that will need that money in the fall to win against Republicans. So some Democrats, the White House included, will say that was probably not the best use of that money.
Indeed. Let's move over to Nevada now. Harry Reid facing a Tea Party-backed Sharron Angell. What does Harry Reid have to do to defeat this woman who claims she's got it?
Well, one thing that Senator Harry Reid is trying to do is he's going to make this a choice between his candidacy and Sharron Angell. He claims, he says that she is too conservative for the electorate of Nevada. But in her acceptance speech last night, she invoked the name of Ronald Reagan. She said people said Ronald Reagan was too conservative as well. So he is going to try and make this a choice between the two. She's going to try and make this a referendum on Senator Harry Reid, on Democrats in Washington. It probably is easier for him to defeat her, but there's no question that any time you are an incumbent, you have a 40% approval rating, if that, sometimes even in the 30s. He still has a tough road ahead in these next 5 months.
And yet he is the incumbent, so he's got the power of that. Let's go now to South Carolina, Jeff Zeleny. Nikki Haley, state representative, faced off against three other challengers. She was also supported by Sarah Palin. What does that one tell us?
What that tells us is that Nikki Haley is a rising figure in Republican politics in America. She could become the first female governor of South Carolina. She's in a runoff on June 22nd. Her biography is interesting. We're keeping an eye on that to see what happens in 2 weeks.
A lot of mudslinging in that one and a little touch of scandal as well. Jeff Zeleny, national political correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. John Myers, State House Bureau Chief for KQED in San Francisco. And John, what's really cool about all of this is, as you said, it's only June. These races are just fascinating coming up.
Well, it's an interesting changing of the guard there in California, it seems, for the GOP. And with so much liberal Democratic money coming out of Silicon Valley, it's interesting to see these Republican candidates emerging from the same place.
And as Meg Whitman said, worst nightmare, two California businessmen against the politicians.
Businesswomen.